You're in the home 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcast. Field, Stefania, Mike Clay, Daniel in the house. Matthew is absent today because he is playing wide receiver for the Saints tonight. We'll tell you about that in just a couple of minutes. Before we do that,
going down if that's the case.
He's a wide receiver 94 with upside, with downside actually. Is it possible to have upside? Yeah.
What would his Madden rating be?
Madden does not go into the negatives, but if it did, what's his projection, Mike?
Projection?
Yeah, minus 14.2.
Zero targets, zero catches, somehow negative 2 yards.
Right, he'll find a way to fumble. We will talk about the very, very thin Saints offense in just a few moments. But before we do that, two more pieces of housekeeping that you've heard us mention each day so far on the show this week. We're going to keep it rolling. As you probably all know, where it's V-Week at ESPN, and our partnership with the V Foundation highlights the urgent need for cancer research and the elimination of racial disparities in cancer outcomes. You can learn more and help support by visiting v.org/donate. That's v.org/donate. 100% of your donation goes directly to cancer research. 100%. You donate a buck goes right to cancer research. You donate more than a buck, whatever amount you donate, it goes right to cancer research. Cancer is something that unfortunately has touched all of us in some way, shape, or form. We hope that you can find it in whatever amount of generosity you have to donate to v.org/donate. It certainly means a lot to all of us here at ESPN. As Matthew said, I think that's the appropriate way to put it. There are a lot of things that ESPN does well. The best thing it does well is its partnership with the V Foundation. And one more time, you guys are saying you're a broken record, Field. I am, because on Sunday, Fantasy Football Now, normally on ESPN2. Sometimes we get pushed over to ESPN News. This Sunday, if you're watching the show right this second, just fast forward about 72 or so hours, and you will be actually 71 hours because the show starts at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can watch Fantasy Football Now on the ESPN Twitter page, ESPN YouTube page, the ESPN app, the ESPN Fantasy Facebook page. Mike Clay will be going live from his Instagram account as well from the set of the show. We are not on television this week for 1 week and 1 week only. Fantasy Football Now streaming starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And you, Mike, you gave me a very befuddled look right there.
Does Mike have an Instagram account?
Yes, he does. Mike Clay NFL.
I do, but everything you're saying is news to me. So,
oh, you didn't know this?
I'm learning all this right now on the set.
Matt, let me ask you a quick question. What was your favorite part about Tuesday's show then?
Tuesday's show was the football stats.
Yes. We saved those for Thursday shows, to be clear.
Mike, let me ask you a question. If I told you that I paid someone to let me on to the Sunday Fantasy Football Now show so that you and I could do a DFS segment, would that make you happy or would that make you sad?
Very happy.
Yeah, well, buckle up, buddy.
Let's go.
I'm coming.
We're doing it.
We're doing it.
Woo!
This feels like a setup. I don't even know if any of this is true.
This is all 100% true.
I'm the only one you can trust in the room.
I'm going to be on Fantasy Football Now this week on digital. They said, digital, they needed to bring in Daniel. Daniel, digital Daniel is what they call me usually here at ESPN. So
We're borrowing
him from ESPN Minus.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. What
ESPN
do we like?
Minus Plus, only $20 a day if you guys want to subscribe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's one of the best deals I've ever heard of.
Yeah, it's a great deal, by the record.
ESPN Minus Plus, available at ESPN Minus Plus.com or TikTok/something to break. That's Daniel's TikTok account. Let's get into not just injuries, but also a game preview, wide receiver cornerback matchup, and so much more. But before we get into a game preview, we have to start with some recently breaking news, Stefania, and my hopes of having Alvin Kamara back in my lineup tonight have been dashed.
They have been dashed. And this is probably the right move for the Saints, right? Because then they get another 10 days. Alvin Kamara, obviously back in practice for the first time since he began to miss time with this knee injury, this MCL sprain. And we've talked about how critical it is for him to be healthy before he returns, given his quick cuts, his reliance on his balance and agility, and the Saints just not wanting to put him out there and risk the health of his knee. So overall, I think they're playing it smart. He's done more in practice this week. We were kind of teased by the fact he was there in in Sunday practice, which was the equivalent of Wednesday. Not something you usually see if a guy's going to sit out. But I think it's balanced by the fact that there's a healthier Mark Ingram. We got Taysom Hill in there. And we can talk more about this in a preview. But I think all of those things together allows them to buy a little more time for Alvin Kamara.
Just ridiculously tough break for the Saints. Again, we'll talk about this game and what this injury means about a little bit more. But no left tackle, no right tackle. The quarterback to begin the season, Jameis Winston's out. Michael Thomas is out, obviously. Adam Trautman is out. Injuries have just piled up in New Orleans this year. Let's go to Detroit, Stefania.
Wait, do they only have to play with three offensive linemen? They don't even get to have a left tackle or a right tackle this game?
Well, Matthew, on occasion, is going to fill in at left
tackle.
He's
going to
when he's not playing wide receiver. Okay.
Yes. That's how you know Taysom Hill is healthier. Because
wow. Stefania, DeAndre Swift for the Lions, we know, has a shoulder issue, and we didn't necessarily expect him to practice yesterday, but we got an even more sort of concrete update about his status going forward.
Right, from our own Jeremy Fowler saying that he's expected to potentially miss multiple weeks and that he has a sprained AC joint. We were talking about how the Lions originally said a shoulder sprain, which doesn't give you much information because there's so many things that can be involved, but the AC joint, that's the point of the shoulder where your clavicle and your shoulder blade meet. And for a running back, this is really problematic. We've seen it with guys who've tried to come back too soon. We talked about it when James Conner was playing for the Steelers, and every time he lowered his shoulder, it would aggravate that injury. DeAndre Swift does not shy away from contact. And also, with an AC injury, you can't get your arm up overhead. So if you're trying to catch passes, this is really going to limit you. Dan Campbell acknowledging that it was going to be tough to see him available this week. This could be more than 1 week. We don't know yet. It really depends on how quickly the pain resolves, how quick he gets his range of motion back, and when he's going to be comfortable taking contact again. So stay tuned, but not this week.
Yeah, Jeremy's tweet also sort of referenced the idea of like a big, big picture approach for a team that's 0-10-1 right now. Sorry, Daniel. Like, you have to think about your future. And if bringing DeAndre Swift back later this season is for nothing more than pride, you have to ask whether that's the right decision to make. Jamal Williams is going to be a busy man, as Dan Campbell referenced. They'll still use some other backs as well, but Jamal Williams will be the guy until DeAndre Swift returns. Say it again.
Yeah. If he's coming back for nothing more than pride, you did that as a joke.
One pride. You know what?
Fields, you're so smart.
You didn't even think about it.
It just automatically
I was like,
there.
This guy.
Funny. What a good, that was a great joke by me, seriously. Thank you.
Well done to work that in.
Jalen Hurts, Stefania, he took to the podium yesterday and he was like, I'm good. I'm playing. But are you so certain about that?
Jalen Hurts, known for his toughness. I mean, this is one of the things, right? So you don't expect him to say anything less. It's really going to come down to how comfortable he is on the move, because he is a guy who scrambles. He is a guy who runs. And can he protect himself with that ankle? I think this is going to come down to the wire. I know the Eagles are putting the positive foot forward and Nick Sirianni feels better about him. I just think that when you have such a mobile quarterback, if you are really restricted by that ankle, then it becomes problematic, because if you can't get away, if you can't move the way you need to, then you're setting yourself up for more significant injury and potentially even on the ankle. Look, all he's got to do is catch it wrong and it could be a setback. So yes, I think it's possible that he plays. Don't know how great I feel about it if he does end up playing, but you can't deny that he's tough and he's practicing and he wants to be out there.
Mike, it's a good matchup, obviously, and he's a really talented player, obviously. Like, what sort of information would you need for Jalen Hurts to be active but you not start him in your lineup? Or if he plays, you're playing him?
If he plays, I'm playing him. I mean, I just can't imagine how he would be out there and be like, you can't run this week. You just chill out. Now, maybe he's limited. You know, he's not feeling 100% and he doesn't run quite as often. He just throws the ball fine. But we don't know that for sure. And I can't imagine they would put him in that spot if he can't run the ball at all. So if he's active, I have good luck finding 9 or 11 better starters.
Now, let me ask you a personal question. As an Eagles fan, how nervous are you about losing to the Jets this weekend? Because the Jets only beat really good football teams. Are you concerned about this?
Well, the Eagles are not a really good football team.
They're
not in that capacity after what we saw last week. A lot of self-inflicted wounds, obviously, in that game against the Giants. They were the better team, it seemed, but they just kept blowing it. So, honestly, look, they need to win. They have to win games if they want to get into the playoffs. They're right there. They're right on the cusp. But on the other hand, they have a bye coming up. It makes perfect sense for them to maybe give Gardner Minshew a look enjoy the bye week, and then come back strong. And you know, the schedule, they have the easiest schedule going forward this season. Maybe you can make a case for Green Bay, but Philly's right there. They should be able to finish strong. You have to get Hurts healthy, or it's just not going to happen.
I agree. Okay. I just want to piggyback on something Mike said, which is if Jalen Hurts plays, you know, they're not going to tell him not to run. Like, you just don't do that. You're like we said, you're setting someone up for injury if you try and take away their style of gameplay from them. My concern isn't so much that he would start off doing that. It's would he be able to finish, and would he be able to be as effective as he normally is? So I think it does make for a tough call, and it would make it a lot easier if they just decided, hey, we're going to give Gardner Minshew this week and hold Hurts out, but he's going to lobby to play.
Mullets everywhere celebrated the opportunity for Gardner Minshew to play. He is my guy. Yeah, he is. Although my mullet is not in very good shape right now. I'm high and tight these days. Stefania, speaking of quarterback injuries, Daniel Jones for the Giants has been banged up. He's been practicing, but does that mean he's going to play on Sunday?
Well, he says he is preparing as if he is going to play. He has a neck strain is what they're calling it, injured while running in the last game. And you know, it sounds like they've ruled out the things that would be serious or significant that would force him out. And it's a matter of, is he comfortable enough? Can he do what he needs to? Mike Glennon is getting some first team reps. Jordan Renan reported that. So I think the Giants are sort of hedging their bets. They're not going to make a decision until later this week. But he did go through everything he normally would in Wednesday's practice. So you understand his mindset is that he's preparing to play.
I mentioned this yesterday that the Dolphins defense, which at last check was still available in a bunch of leagues, very optimal potential streaming option. Maybe even more than that, they've been playing great over the past 4 weeks. They should be a very, very busy and attacking defense on Sunday. One more here, Stefania. This is a big one here. Darren Waller, who people were watching the game on Thanksgiving, perhaps napping on the couch after the tryptophan hit. He left that game against the Cowboys early. He returned to the sidelines with no pads on. Seemed like it wasn't that big of a deal, but still not practicing.
Still not practicing. So that's your concern when, you know, it's a week later, he's not doing anything. Rich Bisaccia, their interim coach, said he's week to week. That always perks your ears up because we hear coaches say day to day makes it sounds like a day to day evaluation. Week to week definitely implies that it's a little bit longer. This is the kind of thing we talked yesterday about it being an IT band strain, just not something you hear of very often. It's also not the kind of thing that gets better in a hurry. So it's probably a combination of them wanting to see if they can quiet it down and just to see how functional he is, because no doubt playing is going to aggravate it to some degree.
For those wondering, IT stands for iliotibial band, which yes. I guess people...
We had a little anatomy lesson yesterday.
Yes, Stefania taught us all about that a couple of days ago here on the podcast.
Tuesday,
whatever. Yeah. It's all relative. Time is all relative. But yes, this would mean that Foster Moreau steps into a starting role, Mike, and this has happened once before this year, right? Yes. Waller missed one game. And what do we learn about how Foster Moreau would be utilized in that offense with no Darren Waller?
Well, he played 100% of the snaps.
Is that a lot or no?
Yeah, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And you can't actually play more than that, believe it or not. You can't. 100's actually the most. You can't give 110%. You can't.
Wait, you can't? Play.
No, it's actually not possible. So stats lesson as well for you today. So
my mind is there. Becoming.
Right. I'm sorry to throw that on you, but a little math today. So he played all the snaps, and his target share, I believe, is 18%, six catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown, I believe, was his line. So pretty good, pretty good. He was a top five fantasy tight end, and we should expect something similar because it's not like they're like, all right, well, let's get more targets to our wide receivers, right? It's not a formidable group right now, right? So even if you see a little more DeSean Jackson, I mean, he played more last week at the expense of Bryan Edwards, right? So you have Zay Jones, DeSean, and Hunter Renfro. You have Darren Waller handling like a quarter of the targets. They have to go somewhere. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the 15 to 20% target range, and that's going to be enough for tight end one production in that offense. So Moreau, yes, I do have him ranked as a top 10 play this week.
There you go. Foster Moreau from, you know this one, right?
I do not. You're the college guy.
UCLA, unless that's completely wrong, but I'm pretty positive that's, no, you know what?
Ooh, look it up. You know what?
Hold on. My mind is getting twisted.
Oh, I see it. Right now. I see
you know
it.
Why? Because there's Fabian Moreau, who is the cornerback who went to UCLA.
All right, so what's Foster Moreau?
Yeah. Foster
I'm
Moreau.
Sorry, but I can't hear Foster Moreau's name without thinking that my next fantasy team is going to be the Island of Foster Moreau.
The Island of Foster Moreau,
it's such a sound. Like, I heard that, and somebody else referenced that on Twitter. Yeah. But it's like right where my head went when Foster Moreau.
I know you don't remember where he went to college. Do you remember where he went to high school?
Yeah, I don't. Was it SMU for college?
He went to LSU.
LSU, dang it. Okay. Three letters, that was bad.
People watching are screaming at their...
I mean, in my defense, no one's heard of LSU, right? Yeah, like, they don't pay their head coach $95 million or anything. Good time to be a college football coach. We're all on the wrong line of business. We're going to preview Thursday Night Football and talk more about $95 million college football contracts in just a second. But before we do that, think about the major life-changing moments you've had. Like buying your first car, getting married, having your first kid, moving to a new city, signing a $95 million contract. Of course, there's also landing that big job you've been going after, which can bring new opportunities for growth, hopefully a higher salary like $95 million, new coworkers, new friends, and awesome new career achievements. Whether you're trying to get your first real job out of college, achieve a new title, or land your dream job, you should go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy. Because ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find that next job that could change your life.
How does that work, Field?
Well, so ZipRecruiter acts like your free personal recruiter. When you create a free profile, ZipRecruiter starts working for you. They send you jobs that match your skills and experience. And they even pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. If someone from that company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job.
Wow, it is no wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site by G2.
That's so correct, Daniel. So if you're looking for that life-changing job, ZipRecruiter is a game changer. They make your whole job search experience better. Sign up for how much? Free at ZipRecruiter.com/easy. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy right now to sign up absolutely free and put ZipRecruiter to work for you.
For free.
Thursday Night Football preview. And again, the Saints are looking for a left tackle, a right tackle, and a wide receiver. If you are available to make it down to New Orleans the next 8 hours and no, 9 hours and 4 minutes.
Yeah. So their top quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, and both tackles.
Correct.
And the Cowboys will have all three of their receivers together. DeMarcus Lawrence potentially back.
Yep. Michael Parsons still plays, has not yet retired.
Huh. Yeah. That sounds not good.
Yeah. Well, tough times right
not
now.
Not good.
Cowboys money line? I mean, you're not making much money, but Cowboys money line?
Mm. I got to say this.
I mean, you're not making much money.
What is there?
We're not going to talk about him, but like Micah Parsons is so stinking good at football.
Yeah, he is good.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been, well, no, I don't want to be that guy.
Pene Sewell's going to be fine, but like
Nittany Lion to Detroit Lion would have been pretty cool, right?
Need a linebacker.
Hashtag we are, right, Kyle? We are. Anyway, let's get to a Thursday Night Football preview. Cowboys travel to New Orleans, play the Saints. Dak Prescott cracks the top 10 for each of our rankings this season. However, one thing that's changed with Dak Prescott this year, Mike, and we talked about this a couple of days ago on the show, it's across the board, really, for quarterbacks, not named Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. He's not really running at all. Very few quarterbacks are getting consistent running production these days.
You're exactly right. But I thought this was interesting because I was looking at that and no team runs more man than the Saints, right? And oftentimes you'll hear in the broadcast where like, well, he's scrambling because everyone's playing man. No one's looking at the quarterback, right?
Ooh, interesting thought.
The Saints have allowed 58 quarterback runs this season, which is most in the NFL. So perhaps you get a little extra out of Dak Prescott in the running game. So keep an eye on that. We know he has that in the arsenal. They've also faced the third highest average depth of throw. So again, teams are attacking this team deep, and it has worked for them, right? The Saints have allowed the fifth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They've allowed at least 25 fantasy points to the opposing quarterback in four of their last five games. So there are a lot of reasons to think that Dak Prescott can put together a big game this week. And again, like we just mentioned, they're going to have all three of their wide receivers together. Yeah. I believe this is going to be the third game this season, if I'm not mistaken, where they have all three of those guys. So that's a good combination. Also, Dak's been terrific, right? He's 10th in quarterback points, even though he missed a game. 19 plus fantasy points in 8 of 10 games. So super high floor. We know he has a high ceiling. And again, he might get a little extra rushing out of him in this game.
I love Mike comes with the best stats ever. It's just the way the world works. Stefania, Ezekiel Elliott is going to play tonight. But he's got this knee injury that I feel like it depends on who you talk to, whether it's a thing or not.
Well, I think, you know, it's always in the nuance with these injuries. It's not necessarily an either or. Like, he can still be really good at times and the knee can bother him as the game goes on, especially if he takes a certain kind of hit. And then he can be less good. And that's when you see more Tony Pollard. So I think this is something that Zeke will continue to play through. He's been very clear about that. He's going to continue to probably run really well, especially at the start of games. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Pollard's workload does bump up a little bit. And it will evolve as the game goes on. You know, if Zeke takes a bad hit or the knee starts to bother him early, it's a problem. If he feels good, then he'll run more as the game goes on. So it's going to be very hard to predict. But I do think that he can run well, at least for the start, you know, through the first half. It's really something that gets worse as the game goes on.
Mike, I noticed you have him at 16, which is not like you're saying bench Ezekiel Elliott, but it's lower than I think most people would expect him to be in a weekly running back ranks. What do you make of, is it the matchup? Is it the health? Is it the fact that he has not been quite as explosive perhaps this year? What do you make of this ranking?
It's the lower ranking is 100% related to matchup, right? Okay. The Saints are, you know, often you hear, oh, the Bucs have the best run defense. The Saints have the best run defense. They've been nothing short of dominant. Even the last couple of years, in terms of efficiency against running backs, they've been outstanding, and they've been better this year, frankly, since the Buccaneers. Fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs, third fewest rushing yards and touchdowns. They're allowing 3.2 yards per carry to running backs. That is really low. That's outstanding. It's easily best in the NFL. And only four running backs, four, have cleared 14 fantasy points against them this season. So that's obviously not great for both of these guys panning out. What are the odds both of them are going to pull that off, Zeke and Pollard? And I do want to point this out. First of all, Zeke, you know, there's a lot of criticism there, right? Like he looks slower, whatever, he's beat up, or Tony Pollard looks better. 11 plus fantasy points in 10 straight games. He has 17 plus in seven of those games. He has been really good. And check this out. This is something that actually surprised me. Nine straight games, he has outscored Tony Pollard. Like, people are wondering, should I use Pollard over Zeke? Like, you hear that every, I can't believe, nine straight games he has outscored Tony Pollard. He is clearly the superior fantasy option. And now that I said that, Pollard will definitely score a touchdown tonight. But nonetheless, he's the play. Zeke, you know, top 10 in touches, production, he is the guy. It is a tough matchup, though. That's why I'm a little lower. I think he's more of an RB2, but he should be in your lineups. Tony Pollard should not. I wouldn't be starting Tony Pollard.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before on the show, is that, like, Tony Pollard looks great in the small pocket of touches per game. What will be interesting is if there was a world in which Zeke was not available, would Tony Pollard week after week after week be able to handle a 20 or 25 touch workload? The answer is, I'm not so sure.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's very few guys like that, I think. There's a reason they are second on the depth chart oftentimes. Sometimes it's because they're blocked, but you know, you think about a Michael Turner behind LT. He goes and has a lot of success, but then what about like Alexander Mattison? He fills in and he's outstanding. What would he be like in a full-time role? We don't know. Sure. So no question about that.
Let's move forward to the Cowboys pass catcher, Stefania. And it sounds like all will be available, but are you concerned at all about Amari Cooper tonight?
I am, because if you look at what Mike McCarthy coaching virtually, well, he is on the COVID-19 list, but what he said earlier this week, you know, Amari Cooper's been back at the facility since Monday, but he didn't return to practice until Wednesday as the staff was sort of monitoring him and as he'd been away for quarantine while he tested positive for COVID-19. And Mike McCarthy said that Amari Cooper still wasn't feeling the best and still had a cough. And so they were going to be evaluating him as it got closer to the game. Now, we know that he traveled. We know that the expectation is that he'll be active tonight. But does that mean he's automatically going to be playing his regular amount of snaps? Just think what happens is you run routes and you get fatigued and you're coming off the illness. It doesn't mean he can't look great in spurts, but I would certainly have concerns about how much time he'd be on the field. Meanwhile, his teammate CeeDee Lamb, coming off a concussion that kept him out on Thanksgiving Day, full practicing the last couple days this week, and he's good to go.
Okay, well, that is good news there that CeeDee Lamb will be available. But hearing what Stefania had to say about Amari Cooper, Mike, would it change your outlook at all on him and potentially not starting him? Or is it like, hey, I'm still going to start him because of the upside, but I'm a little bit more nervous?
Yeah, I would start him. He is a tricky one for sure for a variety of reasons. You know, he obviously sees about a 20% target share and one of the highest volume, fastest moving offenses in the NFL with an outstanding quarterback. You know, there's really a lot to like. Also, the matchup is outstanding. Saints, fifth most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers this season, the fifth most receiving yards to receivers, the fifth highest yards per target. They've struggled against that position. But Cooper, you know, despite all the pluses, this fantasy success really hasn't been there, right? He has two big games, but he only has two weekly finishes better than 25th in nine games. He's been in the single digits four times, six or fewer targets in six of his past eight games. So there are drawbacks as well. There's also the possibility that he's shadowed by Marshawn Lattimore, who when he is shadowed this season has been very effective, but I don't know if he will because he didn't shadow Stephon Diggs last week, which was one of the bigger surprises. Usually I'm not surprised. Like if a guy doesn't shadow, I'm like, all right, well, it was questionable anyway. That one, I thought for sure he would be following Diggs around. It didn't happen. So it's not necessarily the case that he's going to. And also, he may not have prepared for that all week, right? Because we didn't know for sure if Cooper was playing. So I'm not super worried about that. I think it is a good matchup against man-heavy Saints, as I talked about earlier. If I had him, I understand the reservations for sure, but I think he's probably a top, say, 30 or 35 option, should be in your lineup.
Michael Gallup, around wide receiver 40 this week. I think the problem is just that, you know, it's really hard to have three mouths you can feed consistently at one spot when you also have the running backs who are a factor in the passing game and a tight end in Dalton Schultz, who continues to have one of the breakout season for tight ends across the NFL this year. He's third amongst tight ends and targets over the past two games with 15. Been a really good player all year. Feels like the kind of guy you can count on. Probably been the best, I would think the best tight end waiver wire find of the year, right? Got to be up there. At the
Dawson Knox maybe is in that conversation.
Oh, Dawson Knox, good one too. But they're right there in the mix.
Yeah, he's definitely in that conversation, no question.
Let's get back to these Saints. And Stefania, I'm going to ask you about Taysom Hill quickly because he should be good to go, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be playing with the partially torn plantar fascia. So it's really, and Taysom Hill, you know, players are getting better at this. He said it's not really a question of anything other than functionality. You know, I say that all the time. It's how well can you function in the presence of an injury, because it's not going to be 100%. And really all they can do is supportive treatment, taping, arch supports, you know, try and give him some comfort and some relief. But also this is the kind of thing that when it first happens, it's very painful, and then it can sort of settle to a point where it's annoying, more painful at times, but you can actually function with it pretty well. We know Eli Manning dealt with a partially torn plantar fascia and never missed a game. So I think with Taysom Hill, the fact that we didn't see him last week, they really felt like he couldn't run. Now, I think this is all part of the equation with Alvin Kamara being out too. You've got Mark Ingram back to full health and they've got him going. I think they expect Taysom Hill to be able to run and move and be nimble in addition to throwing the ball as a quarterback. So I feel much better about him this week than I did last week. But yeah, you could see it bother him during the game. We're going to find out.
I could be so far off here, it's not even funny. That being said, I have a hard time envisioning that the Saints would turn to Taysom Hill as their starting quarterback if the plan was for him to exclusively operate out of the pocket. Like, he's just not nearly refined enough as a passer, even with the way that Trevor Siemian is playing, to expect your offense to function at a high level, especially when you have so many pass catchers and offensive line injuries, and even Alvin Kamara being out, which again, we'll discuss a bit more in a second. I think there has to be some running tonight, Mike. And if he gets 10 opportunities as a runner plus 20, 25 passing attempts, he could have easily a top 10 night again.
Yeah, no question about it. Four starts last season, he was QB7, right? Yep. And it wasn't like he just had one huge game and struggled here or there. He was pretty consistent, okay? He had exactly two touchdowns in all four games. Two games he threw two touchdowns, two games he ran for two touchdowns. 230 plus passing yards in three of the four games. So he was actually giving you some numbers in that department. That's more than maybe you expect sometimes from running quarterbacks. And 10 plus carries in three of four games as well. So if he keeps doing that, there's no question he'll be a QB1 going
also,
forward.
Also, don't forget, they're thin at their offensive line with injuries. Yeah. And so they know that he is going to have to move and scramble. And I think if he couldn't do that, they wouldn't put him out there.
Yeah, makes sense. One, if there is a reservation, Dallas has only played one running quarterback player that makes a lot of plays with their legs. Hurts. That was Jalen Hurts. He had his worst rushing game of the season against them. Nine carries, 35 yards in that game. So he did run it a lot, but he was contained. That's the only running quarterback they face, and they did a nice job. So maybe a little hesitation, maybe knocks him one or two spots in the ranks. But at the same time, we all have him ranked as a QB1. I think if you have him, he might be better than some of your other options. You know, you think like Carson Wentz, Russell Wilson, I would start him over.
Sure.
For the way he has played. So he's definitely in that conversation right away.
Did you forget?
Did you see me on Sports Nation this morning? Because I said that exact thing. I picked Taysom Hill over Russell Wilson. That was the question. One of our listeners wanted to know that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's hard. Russell Wilson playing the Niners, and they always play in the NFC West well, and maybe he'll get right suddenly when the Niners are there. But I actually picked Taysom Hill over Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson not running, and Taysom Hill might.
So Mike just mentioned that the Cowboys have played just one running quarterback all year, that being Jalen Hurts. They played Brady in week one. Did you?
Oh, yeah. Other than him. I forgot. I meant since week two.
Since week two. Okay. Yeah. So since week two.
Apologies.
Yeah. Apologize to Tom, will you? Apologize, goat.
He's waiting for it.
I'm sorry. Stefania, we mentioned Alvin Kamara is out tonight, but Mark Ingram, at least, sounds like he's 100% good to go.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two full practices. I think when we saw that, you know, when I saw that yesterday, I was like, okay, Mark Ingram's definitely going to be cleared, and he's probably going to take the lead role here, even if Alvin Kamara does return. And I think the Saints are just buying more time. I've said it before, you know, now they get another 10 days before Alvin Kamara would have to play. And the fact he's back in practice this week and did it every day, and there was no word of a setback or anything like that, I think this is just a case of maybe he's not quite ready, and we're going to just give him a little more time.
Okay, so Mark Ingram takes over for Alvin Kamara. And if you look at our rankings graphics on the show today, if you're watching in the live stream, keep in mind that our rankings were not updated after the Alvin Kamara news. It took place like 10 minutes before the show began. So those include Alvin Kamara in there. So Mark Ingram is not like RB 37 or RB 47 for you, Mike. He'll climb, I would imagine, for you all the way up to like a top 15 play.
Yeah, no question. He was RB9 and RB15 in fantasy points in the two games that Alvin Kamara missed. So that's about where he belongs. I would say mid-range RB2, maybe good RB2. 40 touches, 221 yards, and a touchdown in those two games. That's some big-time production. He should be the clear lead back. There was no Tony Jones at that point. He may get a few touches, maybe a little Ty Montgomery in passing situations, but he should be well on the path to 17 to 20 touches.
If I gave you the choice, Mike, between starting any Saints wide receiver and rewatching last Thursday's Bears-Lions game five straight times in a day, which would you choose?
I would choose Tre'Quan Smith, my friend.
Okay, you're interested, huh?
I would. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been pretty good as of late. Fantasy's number 24 scoring wide receiver since week 8. 6-plus targets in 3 straight games. And the Cowboys have allowed the 7th most fantasy points to wide receivers. So he's emerged as the guy. He, you know, we thought it would be Marquez Callaway, right, in the preseason. Yeah. But Tre'Quan was hurt. It's been him. You know, he's played pretty well. Obviously, a little different quarterback situation right now. But I would start him in my flex over watching that game or the Eagles game. Or the Eagles game against the Giants.
I mean, I understand why you don't want to watch that game. But like you're like a non-vested party in the Lions and Bears game.
That's true.
I have a feeling.
I'll go Tre'Quan.
Like, I'm totally preparing myself tonight for the Saints to score 3 total touchdowns. One will be like Alex Armour, their fullback.
Yes.
One will be their punter.
They waived him.
Blake Gilligan.
They'll re-sign him for that.
Yeah. No, they'll just bring him back to the practice squad and then elevate him for the night. And then one will be like Malcolm Perry or whatever other wide receiver they have in the practice squad. Like, it's going to be such
little a Jordan Humphrey definitely scoring.
Well, Jordan Humphrey's definitely scoring. There's going to be 3 weird Saints touchdowns. I'm feeling it. Yeah. Nick Vanette. All right.
Anytime touchdown scorer, Nick Vanette. We're telling you right now, get in.
Plus 10,000.
We're going to come back and discuss wide receiver and cornerback matchups in just a second. But first, a word from Daniel.
Do you own or rent your home?
I do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be real hard work. But what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance, which is great because you've already got so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Ever pull into the driveway after a trip to the grocery store only to realize that you forgot one key ingredient for dinner?
It's the worst.
Every time.
The worst. But now you have options. Get the groceries you need or a backup meal from your favorite local restaurant delivered with DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and 0 delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code FFF. That's 25% off, up to a $10 value, and 0 delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code FFF. Don't forget, that's code FFF for 25% off your first order with DoorDash, subject to change, terms apply.
Dash Pass subscriber right here.
Are you really?
Dash Pass is the way to go.
Okay, Mike, you blew right through the transition right there.
What were your transition?
I had to jump. I had to get in there. Support our sponsor. I love DoorDash. I love Dash Pass. I was told they were considering like going out of business, but they were like, we make so much money from Mike that we're going to stay active.
Wow, that's awesome.
Way to prop yourself. I see you angling for a private sponsorship.
At Mike Clay NFL, in case anyone's wondering out there.
This corporate America.
I need a deal where they just pay for like one of my meals a month, and that would save me a fortune.
I heard that Lamborghini was about to go out of business, they haven't actually ever gotten a dollar of my money because I can't afford it, but like if they ever were thinking about going out of business and wanted me to just drive a car... At Field the Eights on Twitter, right? Yeah, just
that's not what I was going for, but I'm giving them a shout out, man. I order too much food. I'm one of the people just wants different foods all the time, constantly ordering from all the local restaurants, and Dash Pass, a lifesaver.
Do you have a favorite genre? What's your favorite type of food?
So many. It's easy to, well, certainly Italian. I mean, you can go to, you can get, you know, pizza all the time.
Sbarro.
But we get.
I don't think of pizza when I think
favorite,
Italian.
That's my favorite authentic.
I think of like, pizza as its own genre.
Yeah.
And then Italian is like Italian, you know.
Italian, yeah. Well, we're, you know, here in Connecticut, there's, you know, New Haven's a big pizza city.
Oh.
Big pizza
city. Oh, yeah. That's right. Great Italian down there.
Frank Pepe's. Everybody loves themselves some Frank Pepe's. All right, let's move forward to wide receiver cornerback matchups. I can't think of a way to transition from Frank Pepe's to that, so I'm just going to get right to the wide receiver cornerbacks.
Food. We do food upgrades.
We can.
And
we have 26 minutes. We got plenty of time. wide receiver cornerback downgrades.
Yeah, so let's put up the pizzas against each other. They do that in New Haven.
Yeah, that's right.
We could have a showdown between like Modern and Pepe's. And
I'm in for that.
Sally's.
Let's do that.
I gotta be a taste tester.
You guys want to go post show?
Let's do it.
Yeah,
we are all like
focus field trip. Let's do it.
Nice.
No joke.
Pizza testing.
There's a church around here that every year before COVID, they would every year there was like this thing where they got all the pizza chains and had like a pie from all the places, and you pay X amount of money, like $10 or something. And you could just, it's unlimited. You could just eat all the different pizzas from the area. And then they do like,
that? Get the name of that event and tell us.
It's amazing.
It is.
I went to it every year. Hopefully they bring it back soon, but it's awesome.
All right. We're going to figure out what that's actually called and then go back to it in future years if it's brought back.
All right. Let's go back to wide receiver cornerback matchup, though.
Great transition by Daniel. And we begin. And I got to tell you, so I've got this iPad here that does the touchscreen. It manipulates it. And I was looking at the names before the show and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know which direction Mike's going to go with these. So, Mike, Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins for the Texans, they play against the Colts. What do you think about that matchup?
This is an upgrade for both of these guys going up against Indianapolis. They have some talent there, Rhodes, Moore, and Yassine, but they haven't been as productive this year for a variety of reasons. I believe we talked about them last week, too, actually, in Fantasy Football Now. Injuries, and Xavier Rhodes hasn't been as dominant as
Rhodes are open this year.
They are occasionally, for sure.
I nailed that one.
You did. You got it.
That was a good one.
Sixth most fantasy points to the perimeter, fourth most overall over the last 8 weeks. They've allowed 17 touchdowns to wide receivers, have the Colts. That is most in the entire NFL. So it sets up nicely here for Houston. Nine wide receivers have gotten to 18 fantasy points. You're going to have Cooks and Nico Collins mostly on the perimeter. So they'll see Rhodes, they'll see Yassine, and they'll see Isaiah Rodgers too. They've been rotating him in, kind of using three guys at this point, right, which is usually not a sign that the starters are having a ton of success. By the way, these teams have played this season, so we can look back at that. Brandon Cooks, 9 catches, 89 yards in that game on 13 targets. Most of that was against Rhodes and Yassine.
I hate to rain on your parade, Mike. The only thing I would say just for people to be aware of is there appears to be an illness going around Houston Texans because there are several players who would have missed practice on Wednesday had the team had a practice, and that includes Brandon Cooks. It includes David Johnson. It includes Chris Conley. It includes Danny Amendola.
Wow, and Amendola, by the way, also just had a knee procedure, so it sounds like he could miss some time, even if he is.
They haven't indicated what the illness is, but just to be aware, you know,
they were virtual yesterday. It sounds like it's a non-COVID situation, but still something to keep an eye on. But if these players are available on Sunday, Mike likes them as potential matchup upgrades. The Chargers play the Bengals. What a fun matchup this is.
Oh,
I don't know
why,
but it just feels like this year we've got more fun late season matchups. Maybe just the way the schedule fell this year. But of course, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, two of the top three quarterbacks drafted last year, playing in the same game. Justin Herbert and his wide receivers, Mike Williams versus and Keenan Allen versus the Bengals secondary. Mike, again, upgrade or downgrade?
Yeah, this one is actually going to be a downgrade, right? Chidobe Awuzie has been really good this year.
Nice signing
over
them,
from
huh?
Dallas.
Yeah. Nice signing. Good value.
Yeah,
there.
Absolutely. Then there are a lot of those on that team, right? Yeah. They've kind of flew under the radar for everyone. Everyone was talking Baltimore repeats and what about Pittsburgh and Cleveland's the breakout team, including myself. We all overlooked Cincinnati and they've been, they're 7-4. They have looked good this season, and that includes against receivers. So Woozy has shadowed Justin Jefferson, Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, Hollywood Brown, Deontay Johnson most recently. Now, when he has shadowed, those guys have still had pretty good games, which is kind of weird because overall he has played really well. And you kind of see that in the numbers. The Bengals have allowed the 11th fewest fantasy points to his primary side of the field. They've allowed the fourth most to the other side of the field, which is where Trey Wayans was briefly before he landed on IR and where Eli Apple has been as of late. So nonetheless, I don't think there's reason for major panic, but maybe a slight downgrade for Williams, who's already been struggling for quite a while now. And then Keenan Allen, he's in the slot. He's also going to get a slight downgrade here. He's going to draw Mike Hilton, who's been one of the better slot corners in the league for a while now. Kind of started slow with Cincinnati, but he's come around as of late. I really think that defense altogether has come around more as of late. So I would say slight downgrades for both of those guys. And if you're looking for maybe a DFS punt, Jalen Guyton on the other side going up against Eli Apple, that's kind of the hot spot. That's a good matchup. Again, don't get carried away. You're not starting him in 10-team leagues or 12-team leagues, but maybe him or Josh Palmer hit for a big play in this.
Sure. Yeah, I feel like we do this frequently with that Chargers offense, is like a less established wide receiver. It's like worth dice roll. And infrequently does it work out. But in DFS, I'm okay with it as well.
Tournament guys setting,
one of the lowest priced receivers on the board. Yeah. Let's go to the Bucs. And I don't know. I have a feeling this week they're going to be able to move the ball against Atlanta, a team that Tom Brady has literally never lost against. He's 9-0 in his career when starting against the Falcons. I feel like they're going to be able to move the football. Mike, is this a matchup upgrade or downgrade for the Bucs wide receivers?
Well, they lost that one, right? I mean, I didn't watch the fourth quarter, but they were up like, they were down like 28-3 or something. They didn't win that one.
Right? Oh, yeah. I'm excluding that. Oh, wait. I'm being told. Oh, they won that one? They won.
No way.
Yeah, I'm being told that Tom Brady, 25-point comeback.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
You curse. Mike cracked himself up.
That's so good.
Mike cracked himself up.
You know,
that was me. I'm sorry.
The Eagles have literally never lost to the Jets ever in their franchise history. If they lose on Sunday, it is 100% Mike's fault.
100%.
Karma's going to come right back to bite Jets.
100%. So naturally, this is an upgrade, as you probably imagine. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, anyway, get the boost here. They'll see a lot of your guy, Fabian Moreau.
Hey, Fabian Moreau, from?
There you go.
UCLA.
You know where he's from. In this show.
UCLA, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Everybody knows Darren that. Hall are going to be in coverage. I can't believe that both Moreaus came up in this show. What are the
odds? Small world, right? Yeah.
Yeah, must be a Thursday show. The Falcons, 6th most fantasy points allowed to receivers, 8th most to the perimeter, 7th most to the slot. Across the board, they have struggled. And I look back to week 2, because here's the thing about Atlanta. We haven't talked about them much this year because they don't shadow. But A.J. Terrell is one of the breakout players in the NFL this
season.
Right,
he is. Yeah.
He may be the best corner in the league this year. He's been really, really good shutting down his side of the field. But he hasn't shadowed at all. He's been shadowed like twice last season. He did in the middle of the season. That's it. That's notable here because the spot he plays is against right perimeter receivers. That's where Antonio Brown lines up about half the time. Since he's been out, it's been Tyler Johnson lining up there about half the time. In that game in week 2, when they played the first time, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski all had huge games. Yeah. Brown had one catch in that game.
Wow.
That's because he primarily lines up against Terrell. And Mike Evans lines up there 23% of the time, Chris Godwin 17% of the time. So if they don't make a big adjustment, Atlanta, and they should, honestly, I think they should. I think they should say, if we're going to adjust this week and put Terrell on Mike Evans, it just makes too much sense not to. But if they do what they've done for the last year, we should not expect that. And if that's the case, he's going to be up against Tyler Johnson often, and Evans and Godwin are going to be running free, not to mention Gronk, against these other corners like Moreau and Darren Hall. So those guys both, of course, get upgraded.
One more here in Monday Night Football on ESPN, of course, should be a lot of fun. The Patriots at 8-4, Bills at 7-4. Whoever wins this game will emerge from week 13 with sole possession of first place, but there's still a lot of football left, so no one really cares. But Patriots, Bills, Mike, this should be a good one here. And the Bills have a really talented trio of wide receivers led by Stephon Diggs. What can you tell us about the matchup here on Monday?
Yeah, this it should be a tough one. Obviously, the Bills and the Patriots have been fantastic in terms of pass defense this season. And, you know, it's interesting. I expect J.C. Jackson to shadow Stephon Diggs. This is going to be downgrades across the board.
Okay.
But last year he did shadow him twice in the two games, and Diggs in those games combined 19 targets, 15 catches, 237 yards, 3 touchdowns. So
didn't really bother him.
He crushed it. But the Patriots defense was not anywhere close to as good as they are this season. Check this out. 4th fewest fantasy points to receivers, 4th fewest to the perimeter, 3rd fewest to the slot, and they've allowed the fewest in all three of those categories over the past 4 weeks. So they're playing outstanding against receivers, and that's especially the case over the past month. Also, Jackson, when he has shadowed this season, he has had a lot of success. Mike Evans, 7-75 and no touchdowns in the game. Brandon Cooks, 3-23. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 1-16. Devontae Parker, 4-81. Kyle Pitts, 3-29. Some of those were partial shadows, but none of them scored a touchdown. No big games. He's done a really nice job. So I do think this will be one of Diggs' toughest matchups. I am downgrading him, and I'm downgrading, of course, Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley. I believe the stat is neither of those two receivers have had a top 35 receiver the past top 35 fantasy week the past 3 games. So their production has been down a little bit. Really tough matchup. not as strong of a flex option as they are most weeks.
On the other side of this matchup, Mike, and this is not on our script, so apologies for the impromptu question, but the Patriots don't have a true number one wide receiver like the Bills do in Stephon Diggs. But they also are going to be facing a Bills secondary without Tre'Davious White, one of the best players in the NFL, not just cornerbacks in the NFL. What does this do for that matchup?
Yeah, it makes it, well, naturally a little bit easier, right? Yeah. I mean, I believe in the Sean McDermott scheme. They've been dominant. The players have been in and out. You know, oftentimes like Edmonds and Milano are out, or they last year they didn't have a good edge rushing presence, and the defense fall off a little bit. But in general, they're a tough defense to play against. So I think it'll hurt a little bit. But I think they have a lot of confidence in Dane Jackson. He was a seventh round pick last year, stepping in opposite Levi Wallace. Who's been good. And then Teron Johnson is one of the best slot corners in the league. So he'll be inside against Jacoby Myers quite often in this game. So definitely downgrading the Patriots offense across the board. The Bills defense, I still expect to be really good, even though White's not there.
Kind of figure the Patriots offensive approach on Monday night is to try to be like the Colts 2 weeks ago, right? Because they do have a good running game. Obviously, they've got a very good offensive line. I wonder if this is one of those games where, by design, the Patriots try not to throw it as much. We'll see whether that can actually take place, because, of course, it's hard to throw if you're playing in a high-scoring affair. I looked at the weather for Monday night, and then part of me was like, oh, it looks like it's going to be pretty windy. Then I was like, it's Buffalo. I have no idea like what strong winds are in Buffalo, right? Like,
yeah,
the lake effect.
I mean, we're in the Northeast, and I walked outside today, and it was, 57? I couldn't believe it. How nice it was today.
It's crazy. Like, it's great. Know. We'll take it. All right, great stuff from wide receiver, cornerback upgrades and downgrades from Mike. You can always find that column available on ESPN+. It's up right now, right, Mike?
It sure is. Yes, sir.
Oh, cannot wait to read that. Let's have a couple of rankings debates. And I think we'll bypass Tom Brady, because I think we all agree where he's going this week. But
by the way, he just made an epic tweet. Tom Brady did.
What'd he do?
Well, because it's around the man of the arena things. And the question was, why do so many people hate Tom Brady? But they tie, and he was like, so he quote tweeted, said, great question. Why do so many people hate Tom Brady? it's so, he's great on social media.
Crowdsourcing to know why.
It's such a shame that he's like,
how can you be great at so many things?
Like, no, it's honestly great.
And also great at social media.
No, he's wasting his talent playing football.
Yeah.
He's so good at Twitter. He really should just consider it full time, right?
And he honestly, could be an influencer. I've enjoyed Tampa Bay Tom Brady socially way more. I mean, just now we get we get the unfiltered, or at least partially filtered, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady should become a social media star when he retires.
Right. Yes. Like the next Charlie D'Amelio, right? I think I learned that one from Matthew recently. All right, let's move forward here past Tom Brady's social media presence to rankings, Mike. And I'm going to ask Stefania about Antonio Gibson, who has been super busy over the past 3 weeks, 72 carries, but on the injury report still, Stefania. Any concern there?
Well, I think they're just managing it. You know, this is not necessarily something that's going to get 100% better this year, but we've definitely seen him playing like he's feeling better. He's talked about the fact that the shin injury that has had him on the injury report virtually all season is been feeling better of late. And I think it's reflected in how he's performing. I would also note that JD McKissick, if you recall, he left on the cart a little scary at the end and was listed with a neck injury at the time, but now in the concussion protocol. You know, that was Monday night. He did not practice. He's in the concussion protocol. So I think, you know, short week, just have that on your radar, and could mean even more work for Antonio Gibson.
And the interesting part about that is that the Washington football team has Jarrett Patterson as the third string running back. He is not the kind of player that's going to give you a ton of passing game work, Mike. Could this be the week in which Antonio Gibson not only piles up catches, but also turns those into big play opportunities? He had 7 catches this past week, I believe, for just 40 total yards. Mm-hmm. Could this be the Antonio Gibson, I don't know if breakout is the right term, but what would be like a breakout on steroids? Because whatever that is, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe like a 30-touch game, like 8 targets, that kind of. Well, he set a career high in targets last week, and McKissick was involved throughout most of that. It wasn't like after his injury piled up the targets. It was designed throws to him throughout that game. So definitely a point in the right direction. We will see some Wendell Smallwood, I imagine. I think he'll be up on the practice squad. I suspect he'll be up and be help out a little bit in passing situations. That would be my guess. So we'll see how that plays out. But again, I'd be more wary of Gibson's passing down work going up, and I would just be like, well, Smallwood probably steps in and sees 5 targets, except for, again, Gibson was a part of that game plan early last week, so I don't think that's going to change. Look, he's finished as a top 7 fantasy running back 2 of the past 3 weeks. He set a career high in carries in both of those games. As noted, he had a career high targets, a number of targets this past game. And believe it or not, despite all the troubles with the injury, you know, he started off okay, right? He was okay early on, not where we wanted him to be, but he was okay. Then he got hurt and he had a bunch of duds in a row and he was limited. They have the bye. He comes back. He's 17th in fantasy points at running back this season. I mean, it's hard to believe that a lot of injuries at that position naturally, but it's better than I think it seems for him. He's fifth in carries. He's top 10 in carries inside the 5-yard line. He's clearly back to be, you know, as close to healthy as he can be, being their featured runner and getting more involvement in the passing game. So I like him a lot. And also I like the matchup. Third most fantasy points allowed to running backs this season by the Raiders. At least one running back touchdown allowed in 9 of their 11 games this season. So Raiders. I like him. I like him a lot. By the way, I saw your ranking. You have him 19th. I actually just saw he tweeted. He was wondering why does @FieldYates hate me? He just tweeted that. So
It has a lot to do with a lot of factors, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to motivate him this week.
Okay. All right. I'm here for that.
Okay. Yeah. Like my team has, what would you call an outside chance at the War Room League playoffs?
How many regular season games do you have?
I need a Hail Mary too, right?
You gotta be two
like,
back.
I need to win out, but I also need a points advantage. Mm-hmm. And like, I need my team to do really well over the next couple of weeks. So I'm motivating Antonio Gibson.
Okay.
Like if you score 80 points this weekend, Antonio Gibson, all will be forgotten. I'll have you all the way up to 18 the following week. So just keep that in mind. All right. Just keep that in mind.
All right.
I
get it.
Okay. False, Mike Clay, Antonio Gibson is going to be a big part of our CSS DFS podcast later on today.
I have him as I'll say this. I'm not featuring him as my guy, but he is one of the great values, as you can see in our DFS charts at ESPN Plus right now.
Wow. Why does Mike Clay hate Antonio Gibson?
I know. It's so weird, right?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Quite the opposite of... I could have some resentment because I was so high on him all offseason and he's kind of underachieved, but still like him. I still like him. I don't think it's all his fault.
He's been playing with a stress fracture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm...
And he's been underwhelming. I'm giving
him- But I mean, I hate... This is just this is one of my pet peeves when we talk about guys underachieving when they're hurt and they're playing through an injury. It's
right.
Also, he's underachieving based on like unrealistic expectations that the entire fantasy
community... From Mike Clay?
From me. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you, Stefani. I'm saying I could be unreasonable and be mad at him for these things, but
it's never mad at the players. Mad at ourselves for the investment that we made. 100%. Right. Never the player's fault. Come on.
Player who's underachieving.
I agree. They're only underachieving based on our expectations.
Okay,
right?
Say that.
That's it. That's it.
There we go. I want that clip, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to use it over and over again.
Let's talk about Michael Pittman here for a second. And I've been on the train this week that there's a chance that Carson Wentz throws the ball 4 times on Sunday. Like maybe one of them will be a spike just like for fun because he's bored. Yeah. Keep the arm functioning that they'll just hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor like 1,000 times, Mike. And as a result of that, I think Michael Pittman's potentially down in for a little bit of a lesser week. Do you agree? Yes or no?
Yeah. Well, the first meeting kind of reflects what you just said. Wentz attempted 20 passes in that game. Right. So that is definitely the concern.
11 of them. Yeah.
Right. The pushback is, of course, that you have to build a lead in order to stop throwing the ball. Right. So maybe Michael Pittman's involved in that. And that kind of keeps him, I think, in the borderline wide receiver two conversation. Houston has allowed the third most fantasy points to the perimeter this season, the fifth most overall to receivers over the past 8 weeks. Michael Pittman is on the perimeter most of the time, about 80% of the time. So he does have a very good wide receiver cornerback matchup. He's another guy that was featured in that column this week. We've seen his upside. He has 5 top 15 weeks this season. And last week, 10 targets in that game. So again, a point in the right direction, getting his targets back on track. Really good player. Carson Wentz, his favorite target most of the time. As long as he's involved when they're building up that lead, I think he'll be fine. Of course, the risk is it's unlikely it's going to be a shootout in the fourth quarter where he's going to be piling up targets. That, of course, is the risk.
Yeah, again, I'm putting my money where my mouth is because I have the Kyler versus Carson Wentz debate this week and a banged up Kyler Murray, even though he's turning in the right direction versus Carson Wentz and what seems like potentially a good matchup. And I'm starting Kyler, which maybe isn't that like bold of a take, but still. I think this could be a very run-heavy attack for Houston on Sunday, for Indy on Sunday against Houston, I should say. Daniel, do you have time or do you want to... I know we have to get to the CSS DFS podcast in a couple minutes here.
Let's do a couple social questions.
Okay, I'll let you ask the ones that you want to ask.
Deal.
Nonsense, I also encourage.
This first question comes from Levi. Rest of season, Dalton Schultz
or Kyle Pitts?
Right, I need a second here to rant. What are we doing, Atlanta? You have a unicorn at tight end. Come on, get him the freaking football. I think I saw this yesterday. He hasn't had a red zone target since like Valentine's Day. Like, what the heck is going on here? Like, put the ball. You've done an amazing job putting the ball in one of your best playmakers' hands in Cordarrelle Patterson. Let's do the same thing with Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, just like DK Metcalf last week, right? I think you ranted about that as well. I mean,
don't get me
started. Just find ways to get these guys the football. I'm with you. And the answer is Pitts, by the way. Like, it has to be Kyle Pitts. He's outscoring him this year, even though it seems like Schultz has been better at times. And I know he's been inconsistent, but Pitts is too talented. And he's still seeing a 20% target share. They just have to get more creative with it. So, Kyle Pitts.
Okay, next question comes from Neil. This is pretty direct. Why have the fantasy football gods forsaken me, and how can I atone?
Well, Neil, recently you referred to a player as underachieving, and that's the reason why.
You blame the players for your failures. That's why.
That's why. That's what you've done. However, Neil has an outstanding beard, if I can see this graphic correctly. He has a great silver fox beard. Daniel, do you approve of this?
I can barely see it because my monitor is smaller than yours.
Okay.
But you had me at silver fox, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, there you go.
Literally Neil.
What did he do?
Oh, man. He blamed the fantasy gods instead of being better at building a fantasy team and managing his team. That's what I'm putting it on him. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Draft better players. Like, Neil, like, this is just you and I talking. Did you follow Matthew's rank in the preseason? Because I might explain some things.
I'll tell you what. Donate $5 to the V Foundation.
There you go.
And that will definitely make up for any of the problems you had following Matthew's rank.
V.org/donate. That's V.org/donate. Do you want to say goodbye at this
point? We're going to do one more. One more real quick. We're going to do from Mike. Flex. Jamal Williams or Amari Cooper? Just from a flex perspective. Stefania, you went, I just want to hear from you first, I guess.
I'm going with Jamal Williams, guaranteed touches. I'm worried about Amari Cooper, just his level of conditioning. He could have a couple big plays, but I think, you know, they've got a plethora of wide receivers who can do what they need to do, and Jamal Williams is going to get the volume. So PPR, that's where I'm going.
Well, you said Mike Flex. I'm not going to do that right now because I haven't been able to work out as much. I get a workout in this morning. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but, Mike's bringing all the funnies today.
I'm gonna go Jamal Williams here for sure. I think 20 touches is on the table.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jamal Williams to make it a three-way tie for first in guessing the right player here between Jamal Williams and Amari Cooper. Daniel, would you make it a 4-for-4?
I would go 4-for-4.
We have a cycle tonight.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
I'm not biased.
Another
guy that we might talk about in CSS DFS a little bit later today, Jamal Williams. Very nicely priced.
If you are not listening to the CSS DFS podcast, I don't know what you're doing.
I really don't. Actually really good. And I don't mean actually.
Matthew over there. Shockingly. Yeah, jeez.
I knew that was going to come back to me when I said actually.
We try to have fun. Al is a lot of fun.
But that's what I mean. And you guys do a great job of making it so that I think everybody, you know, whatever level of player you are. It feels still laughing.
I'm just laughing at sometimes Matt would be like, that's a nice call, Daniel. I'll be like, people don't realize, but Daniel's like actually kind of smart. And you're like, what? Actually kind of smart.
I love you, Stefania.
We
have a ton of fun on that podcast, though. If you are not a huge DFS player, it's a great way to be able to get your toes in the water. If you are a big DFS player, Mike and Al are freaking super smart.
They've won more money than you have, probably, so I would be listening to them.
Daniel actually isn't a horrific host.
Wow, how about that?
Wow. Isn't a horrific host.
You know, Mike and Daniel square off every single week, right, in a little DFS showdown. Yeah, is that correct?
How's that going?
We're tied 6-6 right now.
I was going to say, Mike's sitting over here, like, puffing his chest out, like, I'm the DFS maestro. Daniel's like, we tied.
Yeah, but Daniel was crushing you at the start of the year. Wasn't he?
It's been up and down. I think you were 2-0.
Yeah, I started out strong, but then, when you look at aggregate.
Let's not compare all three seasons, though.
Aggregate for this year, we're only like 20-some points apart from the entire season.
You guys are really close. Impressive.
And you know where else you can hear about them talking about DFS stuff? Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time on all digital streaming options that we talk about all the time. ESPN's Twitter and Facebook and YouTube page, as well as the ESPN app, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Daniel will be making his Fantasy Football Now debut. Should be a blast. What else, Daniel?
No, that was it. I was just doing a fist pump because I was excited about it.
Fist pump and pound. Yeah. We are back on Friday tomorrow for a recap of tonight's game, plus a preview of everything that you need to know for week 13 of the NFL season.
Pick the game.
Oh, shoot, Field.
Oh, man. All right, I got this. I got the Cowboys.
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 Field, you actually weren't an awful host today. Cowboys.
Thank you, Daniel. I so appreciate 21. That. Wow.
One of us is paying attention.
We are back tomorrow for Mike and Stefania and actually good Daniel. I'm Field. Talk to guest Friday. Actually, peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.